So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I would like to spend a few minutes meditating on God's love for the world. Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. John 3, verse 1, this is God's word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Our mission to tell others about Jesus Christ and to send out missionaries to do the same is not really our mission in the first place. It was God's first, and it is still his mission. God chooses to use us in his mission to save people from every tribe, tongue, people, and language. At the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And we are familiar with the words of John 3:16. Listen to them again about God's mission that he has. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now we think it is God's job to love the world. John 3:16 is plastered on billboards and is memorized by people who have no real interest in Jesus. We assume that our job is to sin, and God's job is to love away our sin and let us into heaven when we die. But that is not what the Bible teaches. If you notice in our text, we are all under condemnation already. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So humans, in their natural state, are headed to hell and condemned because they have not trusted in Jesus Christ. It is only through trusting Christ that one can be saved. So when verse 16 says that God loved the world, it's not focused on how big the world is. It's like, wow, God loved that many people. The focus is elsewhere. It is showing that us that God does not just love a certain group of people. See, the Jewish people thought that God just loved them, and those other Gentile sinners he did not love. But the Gospel of John, one of the reasons it's written, to show that Jesus came to draw all kinds of people to himself. People from every tribe, tongue, language, and people. So when it says the world, it's not just the Jews, it's the Gentiles. It's black and white. It's male and female. People from every kind of country and language. But also when it says that God loves the world, it shows us that God's love is amazing because the world is bad. The world is bad. Many times in John's writings, the world is used to refer to people in opposition to God. In John 15:18, Jesus says to his disciples, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." So God sent his only son to the world who hated him. D.A. Carson puts it this way, "God's love is to be admired not because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad." Notice how the text goes on in verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Let's be clear. Sinners don't just have an information problem. Like, say, if we could tell my unsaved neighbor the right information about Jesus, that would solve all of their problems. Well, let's be clear. Our mission is to tell truth about Jesus to those who do not know him. So, yes, we must communicate information and truth. But our problem as humans is deeper than an information deficit. We have a love problem. Our loves, our hearts are disordered. Verse 19, "We love darkness rather than light." And the good news to how messed up we are as humans is that God has a solution. And that's the first part of chapter 3. It's a solution only God, by his Holy Spirit, can provide. Look at verse 5. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So Jesus spoke the truth to all who were around him. His disciples did the same. They spoke the truth to all those who are around. And that's our job too. We just speak the truth about Jesus, the gospel, to everyone we encounter. But without the power of the Holy Spirit giving new life, people will still love darkness instead of light. And that's the hope that we have when we send out missionaries and when we talk to our neighbors about the gospel, is that God has promised to give new life by his Holy Spirit. "God so loved the world" is a shocking statement, because the world is very bad, and because of what God has done to love those who hate him. He gave his one and only son, the son that he loved, he gave to those who hate him. And God's love does not stop at the cross, where it's displayed for all to see, but God reaches out to us in love and makes us new. Because being born again is something that God does. So maybe you're hearing this for the first time, or you've heard it 100 times. The truth about God's amazing love is not like the newspaper that you read and then toss away. The truth about God's love for his enemies is a truth that must be responded to. First, we must acknowledge that we are sinners on the way to eternal hell, and that we love darkness rather than light. Trust that God sent Jesus to save you from your sins by dying on the cross. If you believe in Jesus, you will never perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that John 3:16 would not just be a boring thing that we've heard in Sunday school, but it would be a truth that transforms us. And thank you that you are on a mission to save people from all over this globe. And I pray that we would see your great, amazing love. And I pray that we would be happy to be used by you on your mission to save a people for yourself. So, Lord, we rely on your power as we speak your truth, that you would give new life to those around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.